Good evening, everyone. Let's pray really quick. Oh, Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for your goodness in our life, Lord, your loving kindness, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would just draw close to you tonight, Lord. Lord, you are everlasting, Lord. Your goodness never ceases in our lives, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we would be bold for you, Lord. Lord, speak through me, Lord, and just bless tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, family. So we will be getting into 2 Timothy 1:1 tonight. And this is a very, very powerful section. This is Paul's last letter. And he is writing to his dear son in the Lord, Timothy. And Paul never had kids, and so he considered Timothy to be like one of his sons. It says in 1 Timothy, you are, you know, like a son in the faith. And then he comes, he says, you know, here to Timothy, a beloved son. You're like my son. And for you parents, you can just picture right now you writing one of these last letters to your kids. And kids, can you picture this getting a letter from your parents for the last time? And people's last words before they die are very impactful. It's very important to pay attention to people when they say the last things, like really what they're focused on. Here their life is coming to an end, and this is what they have to say. And I have some quotes. Bob Marley, on his deathbed, he said, "Money cannot buy life." And then he passed away. Charles Darwin said, "I am not the least afraid to die." And then he died. King Louis the 14th said, "Why do you weep? Do you think I was immortal?" Winston Churchill said, "I am bored with it all." And then he died. That's great. I am bored. Steve Jobs. This one really impacted me. I mean, the guy that got Apple rolling, you know, the guy had so much money. He was so successful. And his last words were, "Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow." And then he passed away. Coco Chanel said, "You see, this is how you die." And then she died. Karl Marx said, last words are for fools who haven't said enough. And then he died. You see these men and women, Winston Churchill, I believe, you know, was a Christian. And, you know, I'm bored with it all. And he knew what was ahead. But we see what Paul has to say, a man that truly sought after God with all his heart, with all of his being. This is what he had to say in his dying words. We can think of Jesus on the cross. What were his dying words? "Lord, don't forsake me. Forgive them. It is finished." Bam. Jesus, it is finished. And as Jesus said that, I want to say those words too when it comes. I don't want to say, you know, "Oh, wow, oh, wow," or "This is how you die." You know, I want to say, hey, like Paul, like Jesus, "It is finished. I have ran the race. I have ran it well." And this is, I think Scripture is is good for correcting, rebuking, for building, for teaching. It's good for everything. And so I hope tonight, this message, rebuked by this message when I was studying it, and then also I felt built up, and I felt corrected, and what my life, my main focus should be on, you know, Jesus alone. So often we get distracted with, I'm a young guy, so I like weightlifting, I like sports, But I don't think Jesus is going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful son, you benched 300 pounds." You know? I mean, I doubt he'll say that. You know, and whatever it is, "Well done, my good and faithful son or daughter, you watched all those soap operas. You pushed through. You saw all of Lost to find out it was nothing. Good job." We get on these habits, and we need to find that Jesus needs to be our habit. You know, we often say, "I'm Netflixing binging, I'm movie binging." When do we often say, "I'm Jesus binging"? You know, I don't think I've ever said that. "I'm gonna binge on Jesus this whole weekend. Oh yeah." You know, guys, and I really want to encourage all of you guys. This is me. I mean, as a young pastor, they say that your first 5 years, the messages are for yourself. And this is true. This message was really for me. And so, you know, as I was encouraged, I hope to encourage you guys. So it says here in 2 Timothy 1:1, I'm just going to read through verse 12. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus." Paul, an apostle. I'm not going to read through, I guess. I'm just going to stop here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. That was him. An apostle is an ambassador, is someone with a message. And Paul had a message. And he was a messenger from Jesus Christ. God gave him this message. By the will of God. God has chosen him. And guys, God has chosen you. Each one of you that sit in this room, or whoever is going to be listening to this in the future, God has chosen you for a purpose. And that is to proclaim the word of God, the good news. According to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Each of us as Christians, we have a wealth in Christ. We have a walk in Christ. But we also have warfare in this life. We have these three things in this life. We have a walk, we have a wealth, but we also have warfare. And so this is our wealth right here. The wealth is in Jesus Christ, in the life, in the promise of life, which is in Jesus Christ. And we see in Titus 1:1-2. "Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with the godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." God has promised us life before time began. And he cannot lie. We have this hope. Sure and steadfast, like an anchor of the soul that enters in behind the veil. Jesus entered in behind the veil. We have that hope. It's secure, like an anchor. So when stuff like this happens, when you find yourself like Paul, which we find out, and you study more and more, is Paul is in Rome. He's imprisoned in a horrible, horrible jail cell. He's in a pit. You can go and visit this pit in Rome today. And literally, it was 30 by 30. And usually they put 30 guys in there. Just a pit. So there's human waste. And often, there was a door on the side of the wall connected to the sewage system, which the Romans could open up and let sewage in. And often, to kill the prisoners, they would drown them in human waste. And Paul, so I want you to think of that. He's saying, "I'm being poured out like a drink offering." He knows he's going to die. He's in a horrible condition. And these are the words Paul has to say. And he's like, "I have a hope. I have a hope in life. And so do you, my son Timothy." To Timothy, a beloved son, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." This is what we get from God. This is what we have. We have grace. What is grace? Unmerited favor. We have unmerited favor. That's what grace is. God has given us a merited favor. Mercy. Mercy is just something that God has just given us. So often, you know, we have, be through grace, we have been saved. But mercy is for our doubts. We sometimes condemn ourselves. And God gives us mercy, and he goes, no, I've forgiven you. You are forgiven. From God. And we know that we have grace, mercy, and peace. And it's from God, the Father, Jesus Christ. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. Without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers day and night. Guys, this is a beautiful thing. When you know that your parents are praying for you, encouraged. And not than just your parents. I mean, you know, Timothy, you know, was like a son to Paul, but, you know, and vice versa. I got a text from today from a mentor. I spent 3 months in Israel, and my last teacher, professor that came, his name's Pastor Michael Clark, and he's in here in Anaheim, and he texted me today, and and we're just texting back and forth, and he's like, hey, almost every day I call out your name to the Lord, Jesus. Know that you are breathed in prayer. And I was just like, wow. Knowing that someone like Pastor Michael Clark is praying for me daily, bless my socks off. You know, and guys, it's important for you guys to be praying for your kids. And let them, your kids know, or kids, pray for your parents, you know. It's important to know that you're being lifted up in prayer. And Timothy is being blessed right here by knowing that Paul is praying for him day and night. Verse 4, greatly desire to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and then your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remember you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Your spiritual dad is in Rome, is being going to die. And you know this. And there is great persecution from Nero. Nero just lit up Rome and blamed it on the Christians. And that's one of the reasons why Paul is in prison, is because of this great persecution with the Christians. And so it's likely that Timothy is feeling a little nervous, you know? And this stir up is like a fire. When a fire starts growing cold, you stir it up, you know, to lick up those flames. And so Paul is encouraging his son Timothy, stir up those flames. Don't worry. God's got you. Hey, look at me. I'm in prison. It's all good. God's got me in his hands. He's got me right where I need to be. We can say that in any situation that we come to in our lives. I do not need to worry. I do not have to have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Why? Because I am a child of God. I am in his will. Is there anything too great for God? No, exactly. Is there anything out of God's reach? No. God has got it. I've got you. I remember my dad. So I am Pastor Mark's grandson. My name's Jonathan. Hello, if you guys don't know. And my dad is Pastor Mark's son, and his name's Joshua, and I don't know if some of you might know him. And my dad loves the ocean. He does. He loves the ocean, and I grew up in the ocean with him. and as old as I think a year and a half old, he had me in the ocean. And I remember being like 2, 3 years old, and he would put me on the boogie board, and then he would lay on top of me. And at 3 years old, going into a wave, it just, I mean, still looks big, but being a 3-year-old, you're just like, whoa, those are some big waves. And I remember yelling at my dad, going, "Turn back! Turn back! Too big!" My dad always was like, "Shh, I got this. I got you. I got you. I'm on top of you. I got you." And sometimes when I freak out, I just think of my dad saying, "I got you." And you know, that's what God is. He's on top of us. He's like, "I have covered you in grace. I have you exactly where you need to be. I've got you." Everybody just say, "Got you." Come on, everybody. Ready? Got you. Yeah, that's right. Come on, I just need to make sure you guys are awake out there. It's getting quiet. Maybe some extra. Now this is where it I really just, you know, it gets really impactful in my life. And it says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before time began." How often in our lives are we ashamed of Christ? And you're like, "Oh, never." So why, when someone is speaking the Lord's name in vain, we walk the other way? Why is it when someone, there's that opportunity to talk about Christ, we don't? And why is it when, you know, we have the opportunity to stand for what is good, what is right, and what is for Christ, we don't? You know, because it's easy to walk the other way, you know? It's easy just to walk away. And even for like, for friends, you know? I have friends, you know, that don't believe in the Lord. You know, and I could say, "Oh, dude, no, like, what are you doing? You're being an idiot. Like, you really need Jesus. Look at your life. Look at where it's headed." I wouldn't say you're an idiot, but, you know, I'd be, you know, I don't know what I'd say. It's sometimes that you just gotta, you know, be blunt. Sometimes you gotta present, you know, truth and grace together, and sometimes we go, "Oh, bam, truth," and then we go, "Oh, shoot, grace." You know, and it's true. And it says, I love this verse in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood. There is power in the cross. And I struggle with this, guys. Like, going out street witnessing is like not my forte. Like, I don't know why. Like, I just get out there and I just get so nervous, you know? And I just, my friend, she was just like, "John, it's not about you, it's about God. You're not going out there, you're like, seriously, straight up, you don't have to go out there with any big words like, 'Oh, the solar's,' I don't know. It's just talk about God and his love. The gospel, the good news. Straight up, that's what gospel means, good news. And it's just like, simply share the good news, right? I see Kat's like smiling and nodding. She's like, "Yeah, the good news. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." But it says that God's not ashamed of us. Now, why is it that the Savior is not ashamed of the sinner, but the sinner is ashamed of the Savior? And we got to just think, guys, what am I doing for Christ? why am I not going out with boldness? You know, I when I get excited about something, like, I have to tell people. Like, I mean, whatever it is, a new toy or whatever, you know, I'm just like, like the last thing I got was new bed sheets. Bed sheets. And I told quite a few people about my bed sheets. But do you know that God forgives us daily of our sins? Moment by moment, he's like, I've washed you in the blood. I have washed you. You are cleansed. Every moment. Why are we not going out and sharing the gospel nonstop? You know, it's not overflowing, you know? And that's where the warfare jumps in, right? Because we don't wrestle against flesh or blood, but we wrestle against the principalities, right? Prince of darkness. There's an enemy out there, like a lion roaming around. Guys, that's when we need to put on the full armor of God. So, yes, we need to be bold, okay? But think of a child running into a battle. That's like us. Sometimes in my life, I'll read something like this and go, yeah! Yeah! And then just get spanked by the enemy. And I'm laying there going, what happened? And God's like, John, you didn't put me first. You just went out in your own power. We need to put on the full armor of God daily. The helmet of salvation. To protect our mind, right? The thoughts of the enemy. The breastplate of righteousness. To protect our heart. You know, the shield of faith. The shield, guys, is important. It's like the most important. Faith. Go back to the basics. Jesus loves me, right? So we are called to be bold. But God has given us the tools to be bold, to go out, to go fight. And we have not been called by our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I stand up here today, really not on my own merit. Hi, I'm John. I'm a sinner. Straight up. I'm here just because I love Jesus and he has called me here. It's a calling that I'm here because there is nothing good within me. No, not nothing's good in me. But Christ loves me and he has redeemed me and he has given me a joy and a passion to share his word. Yes, my entire family are pastors. But God's in control of that. He put me in that family. When I was growing up, I was like, heck no, I'm not going to be a pastor. I'm going to be a football player. I'm going to go out, and then God made me 5 foot nothing, and those dreams got crushed. And he just gave me a passion for public speaking. And then I just love Jesus, so why not talk about Jesus in front of people? God has made you guys in a special way, with a special gifting, and every which one of us is different. But together, we make one. It's like one body. So one of us is going to be the foot, one of us is going to be the hands, one of us is going to be the mouth. But guys, we can't look at each other and be like, hey, foot, why aren't you doing the hands job? You know? No, go out and do what you've been gifted with. You know, I look around this church and I think of so many people that have been using their gifts. Vacuuming the sanctuary weekly. Cleaning the bathrooms weekly. Standing in front of the church every Sunday and passing out bulletins and greeting people. Childcare. Prayer room. There are so many worship team. There are so many different places that you can serve and that you can be useful in the church. And that goes out for the world. Yes, that's useful for the church and the body of the church. But guys, God has created you with a gifting to go out in the world. Maybe you're a carpenter. You can share God's glory through that. You know why? Because all beauty reminds. Think of it. When you look at a sunset, do you think, oh, wow, That was a big explosion at one point. No, you think, wow, what a beautiful creator. When you look at a beautiful painting, you don't go, oh, wow, that just appeared here. No, you go, oh, what a beautiful painter. You look at a beautiful carving, you go, oh, what a beautiful carver, craftsman. All beauty reminds. So God has given us each a gift. We just got to go use it. And he will bring us before kings. It says that in Proverbs or Psalms somewhere, I don't know. But has now been revealed, verse 10, by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Christ revealed our wealth. He did. By dying on the cross and rising again the third day. We see that hope. We see through Christ our example how we have that hope. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know that I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what he has committed to him until that day. It's not us. It's not. He's got it in his hands, right? Jesus has it in control. And sometimes we worry and we try to put it on our own shoulders. We don't have to worry. We don't have to put it on our own shoulders. Because Christ has it. He will keep it until that day. He will hold fast. So we do not have to worry. I think of Jim Elliot. He said, he is no fool that gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. What are we holding on to? What are we fixing our eyes on that's holding us back, that's dragging us, that's weighing us down from Christ? You know, social media was a big one for me. I had to get rid of Facebook and Instagram because I was constantly on it. And the other night, I'm talking to my girlfriend, I'm like, I want to get rid of Snapchat. It's a distraction. And she's like, dude, you're becoming a monk. Like, seriously. And I'm just like, and there's so many people that say, oh, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. No. Guys, you put your eyes on Jesus and he'll do the rest. I love it how Chuck Smith, in his late 40s, went out and he was ministering to the young hippies. He had no clue how to relate with these guys. But the guy was so focused on Jesus that he just poured in so greatly into these guys' lives, right? Because it's not us that change people, it's God, it's Jesus. It's the power of the gospel. It's the power of Christ. Verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Hold fast them. Guys, you have heard the promises of Christ, right? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be by your side. We have these promises that we can hold on tightly, right? So when we go out, right, knowing that we have a wealth in Christ, right? That's our motivation, is our wealth, life in Christ, okay? To have our walk with Christ, to walk side by side Christ, okay? And knowing that there's warfare, so we need to put on our full armor of God. But guys, we need to have passion, to have drive. We need to be excited, right? When you see people all bummed out, right? And you're just like, Oh, wow, you look really excited about something. What are you excited about? Jesus Christ. No, guys, we need to go out with boldness, with excitement, right? I have good news. You want to hear this news, right? It's like if you had, you've probably heard this a million times. If you have the cure for cancer, right? You'd be excited, right? I'd be like, oh, I've got the cure for cancer. And I would start telling everybody, you got cancer? I got the cure, right? And people would just be lining up for days. Do you think there will be people that complain, what? You only have one way, one cure? Of course we have that, people. What? There's only one way to get to heaven? Yeah, Jesus Christ. When times get hard, when you're in low, you can hold fast to the pattern of sound words in which you have heard from me in the faith and in love, which are in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Guys, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. That's why we can have boldness to go forth, because it's not us speaking out, right? No, it's the Holy Spirit that speaks through us, that dwells inside of us. Now, that's if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. If you have Jesus in your life, if you go, Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe in you. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And then I choose to have you in my life. If you've done that, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. If you haven't, I really suggest you do. There's two places where each man will go, heaven or hell. And that's the thing, guys. That's why we need to be bold. That's why we need to be courageous. We need to go out. It's because people are on their way to hell, right? I heard this pastor one time said, if you don't have a drive to go out and tell the lost about Jesus, then you don't have the love of Christ in you. And I was just like, whoa. No, I have Christ in me. But why am I not going out more? It's because of the enemy, guys, right? We need to focus on God. When we focus on God, we stop looking at ourselves. When we look upward, we find joy, right? But when we look inward, we get depressed. So hold on to that Holy Spirit, knowing that He is in us, that dwells in us, that we have confidence in that. This you know, that all those in Asia Minor, have turned away from me. Among whom are some dude, Phileas and Hermogenes. Yeah, those guys. The Lord grant me mercy to the household of Osiphius, from he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously, wow, zealously, and found me. And the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me in Ephesus. That's the first chapter. That's the first part of Paul's letter. And we see that he is writing to Timothy to take over the church. And us as Christians, we need to pay attention to this letter right here, this starting off, And that's why I brought it up tonight, and this is why it encouraged me, is that I know that I have been called into Christ Jesus by the will of God. I have that wealth. And I need to have boldness to go out and preach the gospel. But also you see that, but also you see here at the end how important it is to encourage one another. Guys, that is why the church is here, to encourage one another. We don't come to church, right, for like a social club, but no, to learn about the Lord, to learn about Jesus, and to come together and sharpen one another, to build each other up. So guys, come together and encourage one another. Like this guy encouraging Paul, when everybody else took off, this guy came and found Paul and encouraged him. Guys, we need to encourage one another to be bold, to keep pressing on to that goal, to keep running that race with boldness to the day of Christ's return, right? Amen. So I'm going to pray, and worship team comes up for another song, right? Yes, awesome. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that we have this hope in you, that we can be bold, Lord, in you. But, Lord, I pray for all the lost souls out there, Lord. Lord, the people that don't know you, do not have a relationship with you, do not have that peace, that joy, and that love in you, Lord. I pray that they would come to know you in a real and powerful way. Lord, I just pray for all the people that are coming to the Harvest Crusade. As great glory speaks forth, I pray that you would just bless that, Lord. Lord, I pray that those people that walk forward would truly know you, Lord, in a new way, Lord. Not just to walk on the field, Lord, but to truly have a relationship with you. And I pray for each person in this room, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help them find their gifting, Lord, to use it for your glory, go out in boldness, to share the good news, to share the gospel, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would just encourage one another, that we'd have a spirit of unity and not disunity, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would always talk positive, Lord. Lord, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just pray that the Lord may bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and may his countenance be lifted up upon you and give you peace. Guys, I pray that you just go in the grace of God this week. And God bless.